my final announcement. Can I have a drum roll, please? Let's welcome to the stage the amazing Bess Walker.
Hello, hello, hello. Ooh, what a turnout. I'll be honest, I came because of the air conditioning. So hot today, but I hope you guys came for other reasons as well. How are you all? Good. That's one word. Awesome. Unison. Cool, cool, cool. So, before I start, I just need to pray. Pray with me. Lord, thank you for this term. Thank you that we've been able to unpack some really key practices and principles to draw us closer to you. And I pray that as I share what you placed in my heart tonight, that you'll speak to each and every person individually. You meet us all where we are, and you would just do what only you can do. And we thank you, Lord, in your heavenly name. Amen. Sweet. So, I have the absolute privilege of sharing about Sabbath, our last Christian practice to unpack. I wanted to reiterate, though, so these Christian practices we've been talking about, like tithing, communion, what are some other ones? Prayer and worship, fasting, yes. So all these Christian practices don't make you a Christian. I feel like we haven't touched on that as much as what we could have, but being a Christian is all about knowing that God created the world, that sin separated us from God, that Jesus came to pay the price and join us back in with our Savior. That's what makes us a Christian. These Christian practices, though, help us to focus on God and realign ourselves to God. Super important, but we need to remember the real thing that makes us Christians. So last week, Judah shared an epic message about communion. I don't know about you, part of me was a bit ickied out by some of the reasoning behind it, but it's pretty powerful to understand why we do communion. I was really impacted by it. And it's making me actually question everything I do now. Why do I do this? Why do we do that? Even last Friday, we set up our Christmas tree. Hands up if you've got your Christmas tree set up. Yes, awesome. Okay. Why do we have a Christmas tree? For Christmas? Presents? Interesting. So I actually, as I was setting up the Christmas tree, had this really nice family moment. I was like, why do we do this, Brent? And he had no answer. And I had no answer. So Isla has no hope in understanding why we have the Christmas tree. So I've actually done some research into that. Whilst I'm sharing the research, Lisa, wherever you are, can you get our thing ready? So, tradition of the Christmas tree. Back yonks, like years and years and years ago, there were temples and homes would be regularly decorated with evergreen, so plants and beautiful lush greenery. This was to symbolize different gods or different beliefs. In the 16th century, so a long time ago, devout Christians would bring trees into their house to decorate. I'm not hearing anything about Christmas just yet. Martin Luther, whilst he was walking home in a beautiful, bit too soon, but that's fine. Martin Luther is walking home in this really crisp, airy, beautiful night, looking up at the trees. He then saw the stars twinkling through the leaves, and he thought, wow, how incredible is that? I want to take this moment and help my family see it and recreate it for them. So he went home to the tree in his house, and he put lit candles on it. That's why we put up lights on our Christmas trees. Interesting. And then, this is the thing that really stood out to me. In 1848, Queen Victoria's mother and her family decorated a tree with gingerbread and with lit candles. This scene was then sketched and sent around Europe. Because of her popularity back then, everyone wanted to be Queen Elizabeth. So they then got trees, got gingerbread men, got lit candles and decorated their trees. That's why we have a Christmas tree. I don't know if I'm going to tell that to Isla. I reckon I say, oh, because Jesus was in a manger. A manger comes from wood, and wood's a part of a tree. I might tell her that version. But that's why we do it. How interesting. All right. So, because we're about our Christmas, because of all the traditions and Christmas things we do, we're actually going to play a Kahoot. So, pull out your phones. Now, if you are young and you do not have a phone, can you put your hand up? Because there is a prize involved in this. Okay, if you don't have a phone, go sit with someone who's staring at a screen and they can be your buddy and you can both share the prize. You can do teams if you want to share. Yes, love this. Make sure everyone is involved. There should be about 40 people can be in. Please put your name. Don't put a silly nickname. If we see any rude things, I'm going to kick you out. But put your name. Now, this Kahoot, we're going to give you 15 seconds to get onto it. This Kahoot is all about Christmas. There should be some easy questions and some harder ones. But let's see who wins. Now, the winner, one person or a team, will get this. I promise you it is as unmelted as possible due to today's weather. All right. Okay, keep going. Oh, 30. Awesome. 10, 9. We'll start once I finish. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. Oh, 40. Okay, more than 40. Cool. 3, 2, 1. If you are in, give me a yell. If you're not on the game, give me a oh. Interesting names. Okay. All right. Well, let's cut in 3, 2, 1. Let's start. Yes. You have a bit more time. If you don't know how to play Kahoot, there'll be pictures coming up. You just have to answer the questions. The faster you do it, the more points you are going to get. Now, I did this and I got all of them right. But you've got to be really fast. Okay. Okay, here we go. Are we ready? Oh, Ella's ready. Got glasses and everything. 2, 1. Quiz. What is Santa Claus's laugh most commonly known as? Yeehaw, blah, blah, blah. Ha, 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 ho, ho. Quick answer. Go, go, go. Oh, if you got it correct, give me a woo. Oh, yes. All right, next. Question 2. What is a traditional food served for Christmas dinner in many places? You'll be sorry if you miss it. Tofu, turkey. Let's go. There is a picture coming up. Oh, man, it was an easy quiz. All right. Evie, all right, beat Evie. Next one, type your answer. Get your fingers ready, type your answer. Is Santa's reindeer, who has a very shiny red nose. Ooh, fast typers. Let's go, who's gonna get it first? Keep typing, please beat Evie. Let's go. 13, 12, 11, click, enter, 9. Ooh. Ooh, all right. Just warming you up. Evie, oh, Ella's catching up. All right, next quiz. December is widely celebrated as Christmas across the world. Oh, gosh, you're fast. 14, 13, 12. Ooh, guys. You don't know what day Christmas is. All right, Ella. All right, next. Did you know several countries in Central Asia and Eastern Europe celebrate Christmas 13 days later than the official December 25th date on either the 6th or 7th of January? Hands up if you knew that. Oh, I see a couple of hands. Really? Okay, next. True or false? Jingle Bells was originally written by Thanksgiving. It had no connection to Christmas. True or false? Ooh. Ooh, it is true. Nothing to do with Christmas. Next. Oh, Evie's back up. Type your answer. Name this popular Christmas sweet treat. Don't give it away. Oh. Oh, they're coming in now. 20 seconds left. Let's go spell it right. 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7. It is the candy cane. 45. Bella! All right, next one. In Ukraine, it's a tradition to decorate the Christmas tree with spiders and spider webs as a symbol of good luck. True or false? Not long, 14 seconds. Get your answer in. 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. Who hasn't answered? True or false? True or false? Ooh, it is true. Interesting. Oh, Bella's still up there. Next question. Quiz time. We're halfway through. Multi-select. Select three correct names for Summer Santa's reindeer. Ariana Grande, Dancer, Tinsel, Swift, Miley Hoofus, Blitzen, and Dasher. Get it right. 17 seconds. I vote for Tinsel Swift, Ariana Grande, and Miley Hoofus. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Interesting. Who's in the lead? Bella. Still, it's a battle of the sisters. Jeez. All right. What is the name of the famous ballet production that's often performed around Christmas time? Oh, this would be interesting. 14 seconds left. Lock it in. Five seconds left. Oh, good. 51. No, the Nutcracker. Who's in the lead? Still Bella. Jeez. Malachi's coming up, though. True or false? The official colors of Christmas, red and green, symbolize holly berries and evergreen plants. True or false? That is the fastest you've answered. Good job. Who's the last one to lock it in? Ooh, true. Good job, majority. Oh, Malachi, Sarah, yes. All right, next. 12 questions. Top your answer. On Christmas Eve, Santa Claus travels around the world in his magical... Tap your answer. Make sure you spell it right. 24 seconds left. 18 seconds. Come on, fat fingers. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Slay! Five. Who's in the lead now? Oh, Malachi. Next question. 13, quiz. Santa's workshop is where Santa and his live and make the toys and presents given at Christmas. If only that was one of them. 15 seconds. Ooh, fairies and unicorns, perhaps. Malachi's still in the lead. Let's go, guys. Next one. The name Santa Claus evolved from the Dutch name Sinterklaas. True or false? True or false? 10 seconds left. Lock in your answer. True. Who's in the lead? Oh, Malachi, Sarah, Dre coming up. Quiz. Multi-select. Which three of these are traditional foods eaten at Christmas? Oh, Jesus' birthday cake. It should be. That's clever. Select your answers. Ten, nine, ooh. who's, oh, Sarah's in the lead, then Bella, then Logan, Lola, and Ella. It is still close, guys. Puzzle time. Arrange them in the right order. Put these Christmas traditions in the correct order from oldest to most recent. Oldest to most recent. Don't take too long. Remember, quicker you do it, more points you get. How well do you know your traditions? 40 seconds left. Get in before that. Couple more to go. We have two more questions. Ooh, singing Christmas carols, decorating Christmas tree. Didn't get the rest, but that's okay. Did you know Christmas carols are among the oldest traditions originating from medieval times? Decorating Christmas trees started in the 16th century, followed by hanging of stockings. Christmas cards is most recent, gaining popularity in the mid-19th century. Hold the phone. Does that mean people weren't doing this when Jesus was around? Something we've created. Interesting, with meaning that none of us know. Anyway, next. Oh, that's it. Logan is number three. Bella, number two. And drum roll, please. Sarah. Ooh. Congratulations. I suggest you don't hold them for very long. Awesome. Thank you, team. Hands up if you learned something new about Christmas traditions. Hands up if you realize you've been doing things you didn't really know why you were doing them. Yeah, me too. Interesting. Sweet. Alrighty. So, just like setting up the Christmas tree, just like all those different traditions we do at Christmas time, there are traditions and practices we do every single day without actually realizing or understanding. When we mimic or copy these practices without understanding their significance, we become meaningless mimics. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a meaningless mimic. I have an example. I grew up, my whole life as a Christian, my family was as well, and every single mealtime we would say grace. Hands up if you, you know, thank God for your food before you eat. Sweet. Now, if you know my family's grace, can you please say it with me? If you don't, be blessed by this. We do this before we're about to eat. Thank you, Jesus, for our food, for our drink, for everything. Bless the pastors and their families. Amen. Now, I grew up doing that every single mealtime. Now, I've been on maternity leave for 9 months. I spend a lot of my time alone. Don't feel sorry for me, that sounded really bad. But I actually do love it. But I spend a lot of the time eating by myself. And I've got into a habit where I will get my food ready and I'll say grace, but I'll say it in my head. And I've really just realized that Isla, sitting in her high chair with her food, watches me do this. Get my food ready, makes it my plate, and I do this. And I start eating. I literally just realized I've been doing that recently. I'm like, what an idiot. Anyway, so what I'm doing is I'm saying grace in my head, and I haven't actually shown Isla what I'm doing. I can't explain it to her because she's 8 months old, but I've realized that I need to explain to her what I'm doing. I need to show her what it actually means to say grace and to thank God for our food. Because when we do that, we put Him at the center, not our hungry tummies. So what I realize as well is if she's just watching me stare at my food before I eat, she'll then grow up staring at her food, not seeing grace in her head, and then she'll teach her children to stare at their food for 10 seconds. I don't want my grandkids to be those people. So for the sake of the next generation, my next generations, I must understand that what I do, For the sake of the next generation, we must understand why we do what we do, or we will create meaningless mimics. And I want Isla to know why I do what I do, why I worship God, why I pray, why I fast, why I do communion, why I say grace, and why we Sabbath. So the same thing has happened to the practice of Sabbathing. Hands up if you've heard of the word Sabbath before. Oh, sweet. Keep your hand up if you confidently know what it means. Keep your hand up still if you Sabbath regularly. Tomorrow. Oh, awesome. Okay, so a couple of people. Sweet. Are you ready to preach, Uncle Andy? Okay, all right, I'll do it. All right, so I have a personal confession. Before, about 2 months ago, when I found out I was preaching about Sabbath, I didn't know what it was. I didn't do it. Don't call me a hypocrite, please. But I've done a massive deep dive into what Sabbath is, to understand it, to then know what it is, why we Sabbath, and how we Sabbath as well. So that's what I want to unpack today. What is Sabbath? Why should we Sabbath? And how do we Sabbath? And I'm sharing this because I have had and I've experienced radical transformation in my life because I'm regularly Sabbathing with my family. And it's a gift that God has given us. And I pray I explain this the way that helps you understand, because it is truly one of the greatest gifts God has given us on earth today. Sweet. What is Sabbath? Can you say that? What is Sabbath? Good question. Good. Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat. Say Shabbat. Awesome. If I said it wrong, sorry. But Shabbat, it literally means to rest. Everyone take a deep breath in. To rest. It's like a deep breath for our lives. So Sabbath can be traced back through the Bible. The first mention of Sabbathing, or the act of Sabbathing, is found in Genesis, where God demonstrates Sabbathing after resting, Sabbathing after working for 6 days. So in Genesis 1, it talks about how God created the heavens and the earth, the sky and the land, the plants and the animals and people. Next chapter, chapter 2, it then says, do you want the screen? Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So God demonstrates the act of Sabbathing by stopping, by resting and delighting in what he had created. We then see Sabbath in Exodus, where God gives the Ten Commandments. Now, if you haven't heard Ten Commandments before, they are 10 things that God has given to his people, the Israelites. We are also his people, so that we could live a holy life to be in right standing with God. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11, it talks about keeping God as the only God in your life, not worshiping other idols and not using his name in vain. So like using it as a swear word in a sense. Then the fourth commandment is in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you should not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. It's one of the Ten Commandments. And I know I wasn't practicing it. And I don't think many people are actually practicing the Sabbath. So this commandment, number 4, is to remember and to stop working as God did. To rest, to delight, and then to worship our Creator. So Sabbath was created by God to bless his children, to bless us. Over the years, though, the practice of Sabbathing began to change by the context and the pace of our world. So what was happening at the time and how fast our life was going. So during Jesus' time, Sabbath was a 24-hour practice. So start from Friday night all the way through to Saturday night as well. there would be psalms and prayers and hymns recited. There would be delicious meals. There would be times of resting, times of sleeping, times of reading and relaxing with family and friends. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty cool. Pretty cool indeed. Then, around Jesus' time, these rituals or traditions or things were added to Sabbath to help us stop, to help us rest, to help us delight, to help us do what God is actually asking us to do. There were 39 do's and don'ts. So 39 things you can and can't do. For example, on the Sabbath day, you couldn't clean, you couldn't cook, you couldn't harvest, so getting food, going to the shops, you couldn't mend things, you couldn't travel. There was one rule that actually said you can't walk more than 1 kilometer in a straight line. Interesting. So all of these rules and traditions were originally there to help us stop, help us rest, help us delight, and help us worship the way that God did in Genesis. So that's Jesus' time. We're going to fast forward like a couple thousand years. My parents growing up kind of experienced Sabbath. So back in the day, like the 1950s and 60s, there would be nothing open on a Sunday. So Sunday shops were closed. Everyone, even if you didn't really believe in God, would go to church. You'd spend time with your family, going on a nice Sunday drive, ready for then to have a Sunday roast. That sounds pretty good as well. So that was the Sunday. Even part of the world that weren't Christians were essentially Sabbathing and resting on a Sunday. Does anyone remember those days? Yes, everyone turn around. Keep your hands up, please. Turn around. People actually remember those days. But we live in a time where everything is open on a Sunday. We do everything on a Sunday. There's no time to just stop and rest because stuff is just constantly happening. That is our world we're living in today. And I'm honestly so jealous we don't have that whole societal stop. Anyway, so in 1991... this is before I was even born. Sunday shopping began in Australia. So before that, there was no Sunday shopping. There was no Sunday hustle and bustle and hurry. Everyone slowed. I see some people nodding going, yeah, I remember that. Today, Sunday is just another day. Same as every other day. Everything's open. Everything's available. There's no expectation. There's even no encouragement to stop and to rest. This normal that we're experiencing today is not normal. You need to know that. Just because it's what you've been brought up to do or what your parents have been brought up to do, it's not normal. It really isn't. And I think it's taken 9 months of maternity leave for us living a very slow pace of life and beginning to realize the pace we live at, how fast our world is going, isn't normal. So, Sabbath was intended to be a gift, allowing God's children to stop working, spend time resting and delighting in what surrounds us and worshiping God and His goodness. This is a gift we either get to accept or ignore. I've been ignoring it for about 28 years now, but this is a moment where you get to accept it, learn about it, do your own research into it, make it your own, or you get to keep living the way you're living. All right, so what is Sabbath? God demonstrated it in Genesis. It's one of the Ten Commandments, along with don't murder, don't steal. So weigh that up. It's pretty powerful, pretty important. And it's something that our world has been doing for a long time, only until about 20 or 30 years ago. All right, why should we Sabbath? Can you say that? Why should we Sabbath? With enthusiasm? Yay! Sorry, I haven't been in a classroom in a while and that made me sad. Whew, get the teacher out of me. All right, so why should we Sabbath? Number one, it is one of the Ten Commandments. The first three commandments are all about our relationship with God. So have Him as King, don't worship other idols, and don't use His name in vain. It's all about our relationship with Him and how we interact with God. That's the first three. Then the fourth commandment is Sabbath. Stop, rest, delight, and worship. Then 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all of those commandments are about our relationship and interactions with other people. Don't kill, don't steal, don't kill, gosh, don't kill, don't steal, don't, I'm having mind blank. Help me out. Honor your parents, that's a good one. Isla Rose, listen up. So I actually had this thought about that. If the first three commandments are about our relationship with God, then we have Sabbath in the middle. The last commandments are about our relationship with others. If we're not Sabbathing, if we're not stopping and resting, connecting with ourselves, connecting with our surroundings, connecting with our God, can we actually do the first three commandments well? Can we maintain that God is God in our life? Can we be kind and honest and generous to the people around us? I don't know. And I'll be honest, when I'm not resting, I'm the worst version of myself. I'm cranky, I'm frustrated, I'm really short, and yeah, just ponder on that thought. So why should we Sabbath? It's one of the commandments. Two, we touched on it before, but the world's normal is not God's normal. Today, if I was to ask you, how was your day? A lot of people say, good, but busy. Hands up if you would actually say that. Good, but busy. Yes, yes. So our normal today is busy. We rush, we hurry, we do all these things. We have so much to do. We have so little time. I'm going to give you a tip and a hint. Getting all that stuff done isn't about having more time. You'll just fill it with more stuff and keep feeling like you're not getting enough done. It's all about changing our perspective. For a lot of my life, I was the type of person that would like be everywhere, do everything. I wouldn't come home until crazy hours. Mum and dad sat me down multiple times, said, you're doing too much, you need to stop. That was kind of my normal for a long time because that's just what we do. We do everything, we be everywhere, we just do it all. And I would only stop and rest once I hit a wall, once I could not function, I couldn't think, I was just getting to the spot where I'm done. Have you just said that to yourself? I'm done. Was it just me? Okay, a couple of people, sweet. At least Rico and I are in the same boat. We're just done. Okay. So we can be just done. Or the other side is we can start bragging about how busy we are. We can start bragging about the hours we've worked that week. Or maybe the lack of sleep we've had. If you are bragging about that, come talk to me. Because I can beat that, I think. I haven't slept more than 4 hours in 9 months. It's incredible. Damn it, that was a brag. We brag about being busy. We talk about, oh, my week is so busy. I can't fit you in. I've got this and that and this and that. That's one, not normal. And two, not what God has created us to do. Our world today, our normal today, is to see increases in anxiety, depression, mental health issues, broken families, drug and alcohol and other addictions as well. This is our normal we experience today, but it's not God's normal. It's not what God intended us to experience. All right, I've got a question for everyone, but if you were to sum up your week in one word, what would it be? Terrible, boring, loving filled, patient. Ooh, I like this. Eventful, dramatic, busy, baby. Oh, gaming. Okay. Okay. Cool. Unexplainable. Whoa. I regularly get to a point where my week is busy, tiring, I'm done. Well, that has been my experience. So I've got something to come up on the screen. All right. So have a look at these two different like columns. We've got tired, busy. Maybe you've been feeling angry or irritated a lot of the week, stressed or anxious. Maybe just done. Put the done in that column. Then on the other side, we have maybe the whole week you could describe as I just feel really loving or joyful, peaceful, patient, calm, and relaxed. If you were to think about all your weeks this year, all 46 of them or something so far, what column do you think your week would kind of lean in? If you're brave, can you point to it? What column would your life more lean in? If you're over here, you're so not alone. If you're on this one, I want to talk to you afterwards and find out how. But I think I might know how. So, alrighty. Okay. So more common, can I have the title for the headings come up? Sweet. So all of the things on the, what's our side? Left? left, yes. They're all about being in a state of restlessness. When you're not resting in God, you're feeling restless. Then everything on this side is when you're experiencing the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. I think there's another one. But these are only experienced when we are restful or rested in God. This doesn't have to be our normal. This is a normal that God created us to experience. Are we good? Oh, in the middle. So if someone, you want to be in the middle? You could. I'll be honest. I would so prefer my life to look like this every single day, every single moment, no matter how much sleep I've had, no matter how the traffic is. I sat in like 20 minutes of traffic today, and I felt a lot of this. But we can live in this. If you look through the Gospels, Jesus sat here every single day, every single moment. And not just because he is God, he's also man. It's because he rested in God. We too can sit in that space every day and every moment. So, why should we Sabbath? It's one of the commandments. Our world's normal is not God's normal for us. Also, Sabbath is the gospel message translated in 24 hours. Evie shared this with me a few weeks ago, and it just made sense. So Sabbath is one of the clearest signs of the gospel of grace. You intentionally accomplish nothing, and God still loves you. God created the world in 6 days. He stopped and he rested. He didn't do anything that day except be. And God is saying to us, hey, here's a gift. Just be. Just be present. Stop doing. I'm going to love you even still. It's not about us doing, but being. So what is Sabbath? Why do I Sabbath? Now, how do I Sabbath? Can you say that for me? With enthusiasm? Yes, Adelaide, that was fantastic. You should do some acting. I think you have, actually. All right, how do I Sabbath? So, when? So there is a time that we do this. Traditional Jewish Sabbath is from Friday night to Saturday night. Common Christian Sabbathing is Sunday, starting with church, then resting at home. Modern Sabbath is finding one day or even to start just a few hours in a day to set aside and intentionally rest in God. So no matter when you choose to Sabbath, ensure it's the same day and the same time of the week though. God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. He created the week there and then. And he's encouraging us to rest in a weekly rhythm. Because the purpose of resting in God is to become closer to him and know who we are in Christ. This enables us to be the person God intended us to be. So Sabbath has a process of stopping, resting, delighting, and then worshiping. There's actually heaps of resources about Sabbathing and about this process by John Mark Comer and his organization of Practicing the Way. I'll be honest, I haven't come up with this really cool process. I've just done research and looked into it and tried to understand the practice. So, stop. The biblical definition of stop is to put an end to emotion or action. So when we're Sabbathing, literally stop. Stop working. Stop worrying. Stop wanting. Stop wallowing. Stop shopping. Stop thinking and dreading and all of that. Just stop. God is asking you to say no to work, to say no to something so you can say yes to something even better. So Brent and I have been, and Brent and Isla included, we have all been Sabbathing. And I've been talking to Brent about Sabbathing for about 2 to 3 months now. And for a time, it became a swear word in our house because I talked about it so much. So I stopped using Sabbath and I said resting. So if you see Brent like twitching or cringing when I say Sabbath, you know why. I'm the type of person like jumps on a bandwagon, so when I hear something really cool, I'm like all in. The first time we Sabbath, I said to him, we're starting from Friday night until Saturday night, and then we're not using any technology, and then we're going to spend all the time together, and then we're not going to watch any TV or movies, and it's going to be really great, and you're going to have lots of fun and feel rested. And he did not. Anyway, learn from my mistakes. An example, my personal example of stopping is that when my family Sabbath and rest in God, we don't complete normal weekly work. So for Brent, he doesn't go to work. He doesn't work on machines and do all of that. For me, who is a stay-at-home mum, I'm regularly cleaning the house, cooking dinner. What else am I doing? The swell is a lot more than that. My brain is mush at the moment. Washing. I do lots of washing. We're doing reusable nappies, so I'm washing every 2 days. It's actually so good, we're saving the planet. Except when Isla doesn't poo for 4 days and all in one it comes out. That's gross. Anyway, so yeah, for me, I don't cook, clean, wash, anything like that. If there is a load of dirty laundry on the floor, I literally resist the urge to pick it up and put it in the wash. I walk past it and go, that's tomorrow. You have permission to do that. I apologize, parents, if you ask your kids to clean up on a Sabbath. Anyway, I'll come across that when Isla's old enough to leave dirty stuff everywhere. So an example for you to stop on Sabbath could be whatever you consider as work, don't do that. So perhaps that's school. If you're at school or uni, don't do school work on Sabbath. Don't do assignments on Sabbath. I know that sounds really crazy because that's just what we do, but stop. Take time to stop. Maybe you work at Coles or Woolies or Kmart or something and you're a cashier and you're greeting people happily and you put the fake smile on. I've seen it, girls. I've seen it. I did it. Don't do that. Maybe you do heaps of cooking or heaps of cleaning. Don't do those things that you consider work. It is different for every single person. Whatever you'd go, oh, I have to do that, that's probably your work. For that day, for those few hours, just don't do it. So when you begin to stop, your body and mind start to slow down and you start feeling yourself or your soul again. When you begin to stop, you naturally start to rest. So on a Sabbath day, stop. Then you naturally start to rest. The biblical definition of rest is to feel peace, ease, or refreshment. I've had a very in-depth conversation about resting and relaxing the last 2 months, and there is a big, big difference. Watching TV is relaxing. Do you agree it's relaxing? You put it on, you switch your brain off, maybe put the fan or the aircon on, and you just relax. The thing is, after I watch a movie for 3 hours and just 3 hours of relaxing, I don't know about you, but I never get off the couch and go, wow, that was amazing. I'm not going to go out into my school, into my workplace, and just share the gospel to everyone because I feel so refreshed. Do you? No, I watch a movie on the couch for 3 hours and then I crawl into bed because I'm tired. That's not resting, that's relaxing. Now you might turn to me and say, well, I find that restful and maybe I don't know how to rest, maybe I can't rest. And my argument to that would be, do you believe in God? Yes. Do you believe God created us in his image? Yes. Did God rest? Yes, so God created you in his image to rest. So for every single person, there is a unique way that you can rest. It might take some time to work it out, but you've been designed to rest. Personal example is, I really enjoy baking. Baking for me is not work, I really enjoy it. So I've been baking crepes for my family every morning, or maybe the last three, for breakfast. Now, there's a story in that, but I'll talk about it later. Perhaps for you, resting could be out in nature. It could be a bushwalk. It could be sitting by water, by the river. It could be lying down on a blanket looking up at the clouds. So what can you do to refresh your mind, refresh your soul, refresh your spirit? When you begin to rest, your perspective or attitude begins to change. The refresh button is hit. When you begin to rest, you naturally start delighting. So when we Sabbath, we stop, we rest, and we delight. The biblical definition of delight is to gain great pleasure, satisfaction, and happiness. So when we are delighting on our Sabbath, engage in activities that bring you joy, happiness, enjoyment. There's this term called pleasure stack, which is actually a really cool way to look at this part of a Sabbath. So imagine your birthday is tomorrow. Okay, you're pumped, you're ready. Think about what do you want to wear on your birthday? Like, you want to look good on your birthday, am I right? Think about what music you want to listen to on your birthday. Your favorite song, it's got to be a bop. It's going to be good. Okay. Think about what movie you want to sit down and watch. You're just sitting on the couch with your favorite lollies, favorite food. You're planning your perfect birthday. Take that framework and put that into Sabbath. So when we're delighting, we're doing things that we enjoy. Think of it as another holiday, another holy day. An example for me is a few Saturdays ago, Brent, Isla, and I drove out to the drive-ins. Hands up, you've been to the drive-ins before? Oh, I love it. It's even funner when you have a seven-month-old who doesn't sleep and crawls around the whole time. But it was actually so much fun. We drove to the drive-ins. We got Zambrero on the way. The best Mexican food out. Yeah, it is. We pleasure stacked our Sabbath by doing things we enjoyed. Maybe for you, it would be breakfast out, walking with a friend, listening to your favorite music, blasting that through your house or maybe just your room. So when you begin to delight in what surrounds you, the people, places, things that God has blessed you with, your heart begins to realign, placing Him at the center. When you begin to delight, you naturally start to worship God. So on the Sabbath, we stop, we rest, we delight, and we worship. So the biblical definition of worship is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and hold Him above everything else and put Him first in our hearts. Following this process of stopping, resting, delighting helps our minds to stop racing, to help us feel our soul or ourselves again, to calm our heart and put it back at peace, and to remember where our strength comes from. So worship is a state of our being, the state of our heart. It's not a thing that we do. So when we stop, when we rest and delight, worshiping God and His goodness naturally occurs. It naturally happens. Sometimes, though, we do need to put things in place to help us worship, to help us focus on Him. An example that I've been finding works really well is that I will let Brent and Isla have some daddy-daughter time together somewhere else, and I go into our room and I close the door and I put the fan on or turn the lights off, and I just sit in the cool quiet. I don't put worship music on. I don't crack open my Bible. I don't start praying passionately about the world. I just sit and I stop. I spend time with Him. Perhaps for you, that could be the same thing. Spending time with God. Not spending time for God, spending time doing things or listening or reading, but spend time with. And I find silence, I find being by myself, the easiest way to do that, because you're not distracted by what's going around you. So we stop, we rest, we delight, and then we naturally start worshiping. A couple quick tips. The way you rest will be different to the person next to you. The way you rest is different to your spouse. We've been learning that. So find out what helps you rest, then find out what helps your family rest, and see where the overlaps are, or even how your friends rest. So Sabbath isn't just to do by yourself or just with your family, but it's also to do with your community. Also, it's not about adding things to your life. It's about taking things away, saying no to things so you can rest. That might actually look like doing more in your week. Today, when it's 30 degrees in our house, we have no air conditioning. While Isla was having her nap, I vacuumed the whole entire house. I kid you not, I had sweat pooling off of me. But I knew if I vacuum the house, if I do all the washing on a Monday, the food drop on the Monday, I can so easily stop on Saturday and rest. Also, start small. Don't do what I do and start with this 24-hour plan of all these rules, but start small, a couple hours perhaps, maybe a whole day, but start where you are with what you have. And one of the key things is reflect. Reflect, reflect, reflect. Think about what worked. Think about what didn't make you feel rested. Think about what stressed you out that day. It's all about practice and not perfection. If you want to learn about that, make crepes. Crepes teach you about practice and not perfection. They're actually really hard to do, but a good trick is once you make it up, chuck it into the NutriBullet in a blender and it looks like you are, it's a chef's kiss. But yes, practice, not perfection. Reflect on what works and then get rid of what's not working. All right, the band can come up. There is so much about Sabbath, so much about resting in God. I honestly could have talked your ear off as I have to my husband. But I hope I've summarized it well. So stop, rest, delight, and worship. God is giving this as a gift to us. We either get to ignore it, keep doing what we do, living the normal that our world screams at us is normal, or we get to resist, push back against the normal, be a bit rebellious. Don't go to that party when you're Sabbathing. Don't catch up with that friend that drives you insane. We all have one. And if you don't, you're probably that friend. I have one, so I'm not that friend. Oh, not in this room. Promise. Yes. So, why we do that? These Christian practices, reading the Bible, prayer and worship, baptism, huddle, tithes, fasting, communion, and Sabbath. My biggest take home, I think Jake said this and Dre then reiterated it when he was on Lead Up. It's all about focusing on Jesus, focusing on God. If we start focusing on the Christian practices, we've become meaningless mimics. We're just doing things without understanding why. So what is normal in this world is not necessarily what God had originally designed and planned. We need to know why we do these practices to ensure the generations after us don't become mimics doing things without meaning. All right. Sorry, I don't know why I asked the band to get up, but going into like, I'm so sorry. You're always really quiet. Gosh, okay. You can come join us or stay up there and be a group if you want. Anyway, all right, we're going to make a plan. Sorry, I had a plan and went out the window. I literally wrote it in my notes. Okay, we're going to make a plan. I don't want you just to go home and be like, sweet, Sabbath, got it, know it, and move on with your life. I actually encourage you to think about it, to make a plan and to do this. Not just have a go, because it might be a bit awkward, might be a bit uncomfortable, but actually have a go. So for 1 minute, you're going to sit in your seat and you are going to think of one way to stop. So tomorrow, I challenge you. Stop, rest, delight, and worship. Maybe for a couple of hours, maybe for the whole day. So stop. Think of one way you can stop. Maybe stop working, stop doing chores, maybe stop using your phone or social media. So think of one way to stop. Think of one way you can rest. Perhaps it's a bushwalk, maybe a sleep-in. Oh, I'm so jealous of your sleep-ins. Think of one way you can delight. Read a book you love, spend time with family and friends. Maybe make some crepes. And think of one way to worship. Perhaps that is just spending time in your room, no music on, no Bible, nothing like that, just sitting in God's presence. All right, for 1 minute, just chill. kind of make a plan. Write it down on your phone as well. Because next time I see you, I'm going to ask you, how was your Sabbath? How was your rest? All right, I'll let you know when you can grip up.